Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Hello, everybody. Happy summer. We're back. We're live. The Macko and Cos podcast. Ain't no evergreen. Ain't no listener question. So much to get into in the world of sports, my fancy football trip, and Bob's boring basement, because I like alliterations. How you doing, Bob?
You thought my basement was boring?
Yep.
We're recording at my place today, and I was trying to tidy at least a little bit when you come over, because you're kind of judgy that way.
I am.
And I thought the basement was a mess, at least by your standards. Not by mine, but yours.
Here's why. My standards are different depending on where in the room you are. The basement, which doesn't get a lot of visual for people that are, say, coming in, casual guests, things like that. So the basement, I have a different set of standards than, say, the living room or where people initially enter. Also, it's the summer. You have a child. I expect there to be a room that looks like an explosion. And the clothes are sort of all in little piles, and there's a cool castle. Your bathroom, there aren't any winter tires in the tub. And I found a wide array of towels. So no, your basement, quite boring. Quite boring.
Good for me, though.
Yeah.
I really nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Swish.
Yeah, because like I do get it. As people with kids, you can never keep... You know what? I think I wouldn't trust a house if there was children that lived there and everything was always clean and perfectly put away. That would be creepy.
Like Cameron Fry's house in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Perfect. Exactly.
It is a museum.
Yeah.
Everything is very beautiful and very cold.
It is his fault. He didn't lock the door. Careful, Bob. We could devolve into, because it's a slightly shorter podcast, we could devolve into 37 minutes of literally just doing...
Ferris Bueller talk?
Yeah, exactly.
No question.
Yeah.
I went with Jenny Rousel. It wasn't a date, because I was there with a friend, but then she was there with her friend, Carrie Anderson. But somehow we wound up watching it together in a weird way.
Yeah.
And I found out years later, she was like, I thought you were cute that night. I was like, what?
Oh.
You did? High school is stupid.
It is.
High school is so stupid.
There's nothing worse than when you find out later the girl that you sort of mooned after did kind of like you. Because, I've always been insecure about that kind of stuff.
I suspect it might have been that one day, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was a fun movie.
Yeah.
I probably had something on that didn't look stupid.
You know what? It'd be a great date movie because everyone's in a good mood afterwards. So, it's great. Yeah, you know what? He's kind of cute.
Let's Worst date movie ever? I did a couple. I took Janet Petruk to see Sid and Nancy.
Yep.
That wasn't a good decision. And I took Rachel Daly to see a movie called Copycat about creepy serial killers.
Yeah.
And we just both left there feeling queasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Those
bad
are good
date
ones.
Movies.
Yeah.
What are other bad? Well, I guess the old joke is always like the depressing ones, right?
Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, yeah. Schindler's List. I remember in the movie In the Company of Men with Aaron Eckhart's in it. And it's basically, Bob right now is giving the full nod.
Full nod.
Let me explain this one. And we're doing names. Let's continue with names. So I went to see that with a girlfriend at the time, Nicole Stamp, who's actually pretty prominent. She's in a lot of stuff on TVO and in movies and stuff. She's kind of actually a little bit of a celebrity. And she's, really cool chick. But at the end of that movie, she was angry at me because I ignored her during the movie. And the first couple seconds, I remember going, oh, wait, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. And then I realized, wait a minute. You're not mad at me. You're mad at that movie. And rightfully so. It's a horrible depiction of men. And I could see why any woman at the end of that movie being just angry.
Okay. You know who hosed me once? Landsberg.
Okay.
He calls me up and he says, me and Karen are going to go see this Zach Braff movie. Do you want to come and see it?
Oh, no, you didn't.
It wasn't Garden State. It was another one. I can't even remember what it was called. But the theme of the movie was...
Oh, he cheats the plot on her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it with my new girlfriend, who's now my wife.
Yeah.
And we're driving home and the quiet ride home.
Oh.
I'm thinking, Landsberg, you idiot. Couldn't you have chosen Mission Impossible 2?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know it's John Woo, and it was kind of the weakest one of all the Mission
Impossible.
Doesn't
matter. Would have taken it over. So she's driving, and all of a sudden, just out of the silence, she goes, you would do that.
No! Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an uncomfortable drive home.
And all I could think was Landsberg.
And by the way, to any man, I always love this one. When you're having the conversation about Tiger, and eventually the guy goes, yeah, but honey, you got to see. You know, if you got all those opportunities, any guy, you know, they're going to cheat. And then you realize what you've said, and then you've got to try to backtrack from that as fast
as possible.
Also
good to avoid?
Yeah.
It's not like he killed someone.
Yeah, exactly. What? No big deal.
Like, what do you mean, what?
Yeah, come on.
By the way, I have to say, I give you credit for this, because you've been clamoring for the Tiger comeback now for like the last 10 or 11 majors.
Oh, boy.
I did watch Sunday.
Of course.
I did watch Sunday.
Everyone watched Sunday.
Yeah, and it was exciting.
Wasn't it cute, that conversation? You know, golf's better. They move on from Tiger. They got to focus on everyone else. Those were such cute conversations. And then Tiger on Sunday, and the ratings were up 69%, the highest finals in 10 years.
Brooks Koepka won two of the three majors that he competed in.
Who?
Year. Exactly.
Poor Brooks Koepka.
Oh, man. Brooks Koepka kind of reminds me of Scotty MacArthur.
Yeah.
Oh, just, yeah. Just a, like just a the big build. Guy in the build. And
let me tell you something, Bob. I'm going to stand up to do this.
All right.
Brooks Koepka could be at the Masters.
Matt's standing like he's putting on a seminar.
He could get the Masters next year, take the ball, and then unzip his fly, take his dick out, drop the ball, windmill the ball with his dick, and get a hole in one. And we still won't care if Tiger's in contention on Sunday. It really doesn't matter what Brooks does. We'd still be like, oh, yeah, remember when Brooks did that penis thing? Oh, yeah, whatever. Tiger Woods.
Can I ask you a question, Matt?
Yeah.
Is the reason you stood up so that you could act it out? Because you could have said that sitting down.
I could have.
You didn't, though, did you?
Bob, my parents didn't pay 4 years of my undergrad degree at McMaster, where I got a major in theater, if I'm not allowed to act out the scene.
That's an excellent point. I've got so many things to get to today.
Yeah, we're going to have to rapid fire this.
We've only got about 35 minutes, and we haven't talked much Leafs.
Yeah.
And it feels like in the dog days, well, we're past the dog days of summer now. Now mm-hmm. we're starting to ramp up. It feels like we're at the beginning of the anticipation of the new season.
Okay.
Preseason only a few weeks away.
Yep.
The X starts today. Mm-hmm. It's going to be all Leafs all the time. So I thought, why don't we do some hypothetical final summer questions about
sure.
the Leafs?
Okay.
All right. So I like to call this segment the hypothetical situation room.
Okay.
Okay.
Go, Wolf Blitzer. Go.
All right. If you could go to dinner with Mike Babcock and convince him to make one change from last year, what would it be?
Minutes. It would be, I want Marner, Matthews, and Nylander all to be in the 18 and a half range. And every now and then, dip your toe. If Matthews has got to play close to 20, don't worry about it. Tavares last year was 19 minutes and like 58 seconds. That would be it, minutes.
Be interesting to see whether he uses any of those guys on the penalty kill.
Mm-hmm.
The penalty kill has always been the domain of the scrub. And I remember talking to Jeff O'Neill one time.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, and he, you know, just in between shows, and we were sitting in the bullpen at TSN 1050, and he said, I wonder why they don't use the best players on the penalty kill.
Yeah.
And I'd never really thought about it, because it had always been the territory of the hard-trying fourth-line guy who's willing to give up his body. And, you know, it seemed like a time where you could rest your stars. But considering how important special teams are, why wouldn't you just put your best players, your best skaters out there?
Yeah.
Your best players, in theory, will do the best things.
The most athletic guys, you figure, are the best at keeping the puck on their stick and away from other guys' sticks.
Like, what would Austin Matthews look like on the penalty kill?
He'd be fantastic.
It wouldn't be a waste of his time. I mean,
no.
And if you had a great penalty kill, in theory, amortized over 82 games, that could be a few points for you.
You know what? Maybe penalty kill, third period, tight game. You know, then I like, you know, then it would seem to make more sense.
It goes against the common wisdom, but so many things seem stupid, and then someone tries them.
And it works.
And then it works.
And then we're like, oh, why didn't we do that?
I think for me, if I could sit and convince Mike Babcock of one thing, one change to make from last year, it would be the number of games that Freddie Anderson starts.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
It's got to be at least 10 games less. Now,
yeah.
I don't know that they've really figured out their backup situation, but it doesn't matter. Because he's got to be good in the playoffs. Like, he can't get outplayed by Tuukka Rask like he did against Boston.
Yeah.
You know, he can't be outplayed by Braden Holtby like he was against Washington. He's got to be as good as the other guys on the ice. And look how damn good those guys are.
Yeah. What you have to do, and I think Myrtle was talking about this the other day, the backup has got to play one game a week. One game a week, And that will roughly work out to about 25 games. So 57 for Anderson, and one game a week, you give it to the backup.
I think that there are more, and we've talked about this on the pod before. I think I have more questions about Freddie Anderson moving forward than I do even the defense in some ways.
Yep.
Because I know what we're going to get from the defense. They're going to be okay.
Yeah.
They might even be a little underrated. Little underrated.
They were top 10 in goals against this year, the Maple Leafs. You know, they weren't a disaster.
And Freddie Anderson, like, goalies are nuts. I mean, goalies are like kickers. Goalies are like dogs during thunderstorms. Like, you just never know how they're going to react to anything. but I do know this. He's streaky.
Yeah.
And sometimes he looks top five, and sometimes he looks bottom 10.
Yeah. Bad in the playoffs. Had two bad month early, bad month late. Fantastic in the middle.
Yeah.
That's what Frederick Anderson wants.
It was like a burger with a bad bun.
Yeah.
Right? Ooh. The delicious middle, but the bad outside and bottom.
And it ruins it. You know, carnivores, relax. Trust me. I'm one of you. But bad bun kills the burger.
It really does. Also, you need crisp lettuce. That's another.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Fresh, crisp lettuce.
Soggy
wilty lettuce is the worst.
Get out of here. It's disgusting.
Okay. Hypothetical situation room, Leafs edition.
Yep.
You're at the Sloan Conference with Kyle Dubas, where he's signing autographs. And you can give him one bit of advice. What would you tell him?
Overpay this year for Marner, Nylander, and Matthews. I've said it before on this podcast. Overpay, whatever overpay looks like or feels like, because you overpay for them now, and then 2-3 years, it's going to look great. Cap will go up again. NBC put a little more focus on getting more NHL games out there. And with Tavares, everyone's going to put up more points next year. If you got to do a slight overpay, it's okay.
I'm sort of with you, not on the slight overpay, but more the timing and specifically of the Nylander deal. Because if he could get it done soon, I think that would benefit the Leafs.
Yeah.
There is a possibility with now Tavares in the fold that Nylander's year improves. And by that, I mean it's just a nightmare for other teams to match up against the Leafs.
Yeah.
So he plays with Matthews and I guess Marlowe. And it's not inconceivable he's 70, 80 points.
Yeah.
And, you know, it depends on how he gets used. There's a lot of things that could indicate Nylander has a huge year ahead. And then you're negotiating not the last couple of years, which have been filled with promise and dynamic moments, but also some off moments and whatever. But look, I don't want to go down that road. My point is this. You don't want to have to negotiate against an 80-point year.
Nope.
You want to get it done now. And that Dylan Larkin deal freaked me out.
Mm-hmm. The Dylan Larkin deal made sense.
But it's not the point.
Yeah.
Nylander's better than Dylan Larkin.
He is better, but I will say this in defense of Dylan Larkin. And again, you'll be amazed the research that's been done on 1050.
Yeah.
Dylan Larkin, first year, lots of points. Second year, you know, he dropped off by like 15, 17 points. It was a massive minus. But part of it was in year two, they were converting him to center. Tried it early, problems, put him back on the wing. Then the last 25 games, he was back at center. So his second year, statistically, a bit of a lost season. Then last year, led the team in points. Had about 18, 19 goals and was now, at the very least, their legitimate number two center. So his value is a little bit higher than Nylander, who is on the wing.
Although he's an unconventional winger in the sense that he tends to have the puck.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that you play with a guy like Austin Matthews, but Nylander seems to drive the play in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got the puck on his stick an awful lot. You know, we've talked about the idea of the point forward, you know, kind of like in basketball. The guy who's playing out on the wing, but unconventionally controls the play. You see with Marner, too. Here's my thing. I don't think it's inconceivable that Nylander has a better year than Marner.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. No, and either one could have the better year. And that's the great thing about the Leafs.
I don't know. I don't even know who the better player is, but we seem to have it in our minds that it's ranked Matthews, Marner, Nylander in terms of how you would pay.
It's also because Marner was the best player in the playoffs. Nylander disappeared, and you put a little more stake in the playoffs, and also recency bias.
Yeah, and that's true. Although by that accounting, Austin Matthews didn't have a great playoffs either.
Don't you say anything bad. I'm going to come over there and slap your slut mouth.
You shut your poop mouth now. My advice would be sign him soon because you don't want to have to sign him at the end of the year because I think it's going to be a big year.
You get eight years. Yeah.
To me, it's not even the years. It's just the cash, which brings me to my next question in the Leafs hypothetical situation room. You could amnesty one deal on the Leafs. Remember when we got back to play after the lockout and there was the amnesty? You could amnesty one deal on the Leafs. Do you do it? And if you do, who would it be?
No, I don't do it.
You keep the team as is?
Keep the team as is. I mean, I was thinking Marlowe. But, you know, he's got one.
Zaitsev, maybe?
Ooh. Sorry.
Would you get out from under that contract if you could?
Yeah, sorry. I forgot about Zaitsev. You know what? Summer brain. Zaitsev. Yep.
I actually was thinking Marlowe. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking Marlowe only because it's $6 million. And, you know, he always plays good in the playoffs. But you could see a decline coming.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like last year was a disaster. Last year was a good year. He had a high shooting percentage. But regardless, he gave you more than ample to justify bringing him in. And he seems to provide a lot of stability to the locker room. Like, I like Marlowe. But now we're in go time. And they're going to have to find every nickel.
For the year after.
Yeah, and that's $6 million in another year's time. Mm-hmm. That could be problematic. I don't know if Zaitsev's good or not.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is. He had a good year and then he had a bad year.
Yeah. Marlowe is only difficult for 2 years from now. Zaitsev for a longer period of time.
But it's less cash to work against.
No, I know.
And also the timing of when you need the money is in 2 years or over the next 2 years.
It'll hurt you. That 1 year, it'll definitely hurt you and it'll require creative accounting. But Zaitsev's the longer one.
You know, with the number of good wingers that the Leafs have, it's not like they need Marlowe to carry them over the top. They've got nothing but wingers on this team and centers too.
There you go.
Okay, who will have the bigger year, Marner or Nylander? Not really a hypothetical situation, but just a curious question.
I'm just going to go Marner because it looks like he's going to be on the line with Tavares, and we see what guys do when they're on the line with Tavares. So I'll go with Marner by a slight edge.
I'm going to go with Nylander because I think his team is probably going to try to hold off and see how he plays this year. Mm-hmm. And if he and Matthews can stay healthy, money.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
Which brings me to this one. Who is the face of the franchise?
Matthews.
Is he?
Yep. Absolutely. He's the face of the franchise. Tavares is fantastic. Local boy, blah, blah, blah. But Matthews, when you think back to the rebuild for this team, even though they already had, you know, they already had Nylander and Marner, it was the Matthews gets the first pick, takes him, 4 goals first game. It's Matthews.
I'm going to throw this out, and this may not be a conventional take.
Nice.
It may not even be right.
Okay.
But I keep coming back to it in my head.
Joffrey Lupul.
I love that guy. I went out with that guy one night.
Oh, yeah?
Well, it was more of a business meeting.
Was he still in an all-body cast? Because clearly the injuries that kept him from him being part of the salary cap for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I had to speak to him behind a plastic partition.
Was he like Norberg, O.J. Simpson in Naked Gun when he's in the full body cast?
Yeah. He was Norberg. He was wrapped up, and I had to wear a hazmat suit.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really something. I think Shanahan is the face of the franchise.
Okay.
I know this is unconventional.
No, but I get it.
And he's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But in the end, it all comes back to the Shanna plan.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Everything. It reminds me of how at the Oscars, the director wins the Oscar for best director.
Mm-hmm.
But the producer wins the Oscar for best picture.
That's right.
And
that's why Stallone has an Oscar, because Rocky won one best picture. He was the producer.
And he was the producer. So in a way, it's like he's like the Hollywood producer of all of this.
Yeah.
He brought all the pieces together. It's his Shanna plan. So when we look back and say 20 years at this, we're going to love Matthews and Tavares and you know, maybe Babcock. Like there's a lot of out front faces.
Yep.
So many, in fact, that they kind of cancel each other out. So I was left thinking, it's Shanahan. At the end, the one thing they all have in common is that Shanahan brought it together.
It's a good one.
You like it?
I like it. Yeah.
Also, at my local health center, St. Joe's Health Center over at Queen and Ronsey's.
Yep.
He's one of the faces, and he's on the side. He's got one of those big, drapey.
Ah.
So I go past it like every day, and I see his glum face.
Yeah.
Man, does that guy ever look glum?
He'll also be the face of the franchise because they won't allow a player to be the face of the franchise.
Well, that's partially true. That's actually a really good point that, you know, except for Babcock, like we haven't gotten to know any of these players really.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll change under Dubas with Lamoriello gone. But I think you make a great point, which is they made it so management heavy, so top heavy, to let the young guys get their legs.
Yep.
That's a good point.
I got one for you. I got a situation room.
Okay. Is it Leafs?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's Leafs. This year, Jake Gardner will be playing the role of JVR.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really.
Ryan Ellis gets the new deal, 8 years, $6.25 million. Jake Gardner, unrestricted after this year, 28 years old. This will be his last chance to get a lot of money and term. And same thing. He'll be productive. We'll really enjoy him. But at the end of the year, it's like, Sorry, we can't keep you.
Well, and you know, this goes back to my theory that they probably should have tried to trade him. Maybe they have. Maybe this is all, you know, that team's really good at being secretive. We haven't heard a lot of rumors about him being shopped. Felt like that was more prominent with JVR. But it's a similar situation. You know you're not going to keep him. You're not going to be able to afford him.
But they might win the cup this year.
That's the thing is, I think they're doing a little bit of a Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins with him, where you say, okay, we're going to be hot right now.
Yeah.
This may not be the smartest long-term move. Maybe they could retain him. Who knows? I mean, maybe he loves it here. Maybe he takes the quote-unquote hometown discount.
He'll have to take a real discount.
A real one.
So, JVR got... Would you have paid JVR 5 years, $7
million? Nope.
Okay, well, Gardner could get something like that.
Something like that. The cap keeps going up, and people need to be competitive. He's a good defenseman.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who hate him. I was listening to Gareth Wheeler one afternoon on TSN 1050, and it was basically the get me a shovel, I need to bury Jake Gardner edition.
Oh, really? That coming from Wheeler. Shocking.
I don't think he liked his heart, and he was unconvinced about his grit.
Love you, Wills.
He was so great. Yeah. We've seen all we need to see with this guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and he would do it with such passion. Yeah, Love it.
He hated him so much. I think, okay, last one here.
Yep.
Everyone feels the Leafs will be better in many, many ways next year. What in this upcoming year could be worse?
What could be worse for the team? Anderson. Anderson's the one that makes the most sense. I think the defense will actually be better. Morgan Riley's a year older. Dermott.
Ron Haynes is a year older. Zaitsev, even though I didn't amnesty him, he may not get any better. That right side could be a problem.
Zaitsev's not going to be worse than he was last year.
Think about Haynes, even though he dropped off over, say, like the last 25 or 30 games and in the playoffs, he played okay previous to that.
Yep.
But what if he just stinks all year long? Like, we don't know. He's older now.
Yeah. Gotta reduce his minutes. I go Anderson. If I can think of anything, it'd be Anderson.
Me too. I think the smartest, safest bet for that question is that the goaltending, it's not that it turns into a pumpkin. It's just that it's not great.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can get away against mediocre teams when you're really good that way, but you're not going to beat the good teams that way.
Nope.
And we always see that. That's what you always see with teams. The real champions. It's not that they beat up on crappy teams like the Raptors would do. You always look at their record against the really good teams. And that tells you who you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So that's it for my Leafs hypothetical situation room.
Now we got it. It's good, by the way. Excellent job. We've got to talk about my fantasy football weekend.
Okay. Now we've only got 20 minutes.
I know. We also got to talk about why today is a great day for sports in Toronto. But real quick, and I'm going to keep it quick. It's a lightning fast one. First, tickets. You need concerts, sporting event tickets, seatgiant.ca. Seatgiant.ca, Canadian owned, all tickets in Canadian dollars. It's legitimate. They stand by the customer experience. Use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout. You'll save some money. We get a little bit of money back, which is great because the podcast ain't free. Seatgiant.ca. And just as important, JeffPollock.com. Oh, man, that guy is having a good summer. Sent me some great wine shots. And why is he having a good summer? Because he's a damn good lawyer. And a lot of people like to go to him. We use him. You should use him well. He will treat you with the respect you deserve. He will treat you not like you're just another number. This isn't like some Bob Seger song. JeffPollock.com is the website. JeffPollock.com. Jeff with a G. 416-777-0088. That number again, 416-777-0088. He, from litigation, states, and trust, he makes things easy and less intimidating.
Hey, you did a great job there, Matty.
Thank you.
All right, so we got 17 minutes left. Yep. So shall we get into your fantasy weekend?
The great thing is about fantasy, about this weekend, is it's not about football. It's about when you start getting older, it's harder to be around your friends because it's harder to get everyone together. Mm-hmm. Marriage, kids, mortgage, taxes, job, promotions with jobs, which means you're expected to work more. So to get everyone in the same place together, it's hard. And this year, the 25th anniversary of our football draft. To put that in perspective, the same year we did our draft with my group of friends started the debut season of Friends TV show.
Do you remember your first ever first pick?
Oh, God, 94. Emmitt Smith would have been gone. Michael Irvin, because I'm thinking like the Cowboys. Probably like something like Barry Sanders if I was drafting high. If I was, because Barry Sanders or Emmett would have been the first two picks.
What is the in 25 years, as we do the cause retrospective here, what is the single greatest fantasy pick you ever made? And I don't mean your opportunity to get the best player. I mean your biggest steal. You took him late and he wound up delivering.
Curtis Martin, rookie season, New England Patriots.
Nice. Was it like 1,400 yards?
Yeah, 1,500 yards. That's the first one that comes to mind.
Nice.
Yeah.
You feel good about that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Curtis Martin was like the fourth all-time rusher in the NFL.
I know. It's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
He is the Jim Tomey of football.
Oh, yeah.
He is the Mike Gardner of football.
Yeah.
I remember looking at those stats thinking, I don't even remember him being great.
Yeah.
And he's not just great. He's fourth all-time.
Oh, yeah. Just kept churning it out. But, you know, it was a caloric nightmare. Naples, Florida, stayed at my folks' condo overlooking the Gulf of Mexico. Just a lot of food, bunch of cigars, bunch of booze, same jokes, flatulence.
I was just about to say, all of this is leading to one place, that's digestive issues.
Just a lot of toilet talk, all that kind of stuff. It was glorious. And you know my favorite moment? All my friends hanging out by the pool and a bunch of them watching the sunset. And I'm about 20 feet back, watching them watch the sunset. I'm like, this is a nice moment.
Are you having your big fish moment here?
What's that?
Tim Burton big fish moment?
Also, we went, no, and I'm not going to get sucked down that emotional wormhole. And we also went on the hoverboats, mm-hmm. Everglade tours, and saw alligators.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah.
You know what's one thing you don't do when you get older, and even when you do hang around the guys again? Mm. You don't pee together. Like when you were a kid, you would go out and like just sort of all pee at the same time. But I think that's something you lose as you get older.
Oh, yeah. And also,
even though the rest of it stays, that one goes.
That one goes. And the key, the main level of the condo, there's a private bathroom to use. Mm-hmm. Fortress of Solitude. Need to be away.
Is that where the wine spectators are stashed?
Yeah, exactly. So it was a really good time. And I'm happy with my team.
All right. I got a ton of dot, dot, dots.
Yep.
And I'd like to get to them.
Sure.
So why don't we quickly go over why you think tonight's... What do you want to do?
We'll do Toronto real quick. We'll do Toronto real quick.
Okay, go for it.
I think tonight's really interesting because there's two guys that are in the city of Toronto that could change the way, could change Canadian sports. One, TFC is taking on the Vancouver Whitecaps. You have Alfonso Davies, the 17-year-old who was born in a refugee camp in Ghana, moved to Edmonton as a small child, and just recently got paid close to $20 million in transfer fees from Bayern Munich, one of the biggest teams in Europe. Think of that arc. And he's only 17. He's playing tonight at BMO Field against TFC. Could be the greatest male soccer player this country has ever produced. And at the same time, RJ Barrett, who looks like will be the number one pick in the NBA draft, playing for Duke, plays tonight against Ryerson. And people are saying this guy is going to be Andrew Wiggins, but with a killer instinct. So you could have a guy that could challenge maybe Steve Nash as the greatest Canadian basketball player and could easily leap over Andrew Wiggins within a year or two. And you've got this transformative a soccer player who was so influential, Canada brought him as part of their team to win the bid for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Both those guys are in action tonight in Toronto.
That's a really good point. I have to give you credit. It's unconventional in the sense that it's the Canadian Championship, so nobody really cares.
Yeah.
It was like who was doing the Pearson Cup. Remember the Pearson Cup when it would be the Jays versus the Expos?
I thought that was the semifinals before the Hlinka Cup. I don't even know what Pearson Cup.
Right. It feels like just something made up. Oh, look at that. Yeah. I made up a word.
Yeah.
I made up a trophy. And the RJ Barrett thing, it suddenly dawned on me. Like, I was really excited to go see it, and then I thought, wait a minute. They're playing the Ryerson Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Can you win a basketball game by 250 points?
It'll be closer than that, but I get what
Will
you're
it?
Saying. Well,
it's going to be the Globetrotters and the Washington Generals.
Krzyzewski,
take it from him.
Krzyzewski
he's
will
it on his finger.
I know. I thought they were due. Krusty, you bet on the Generals. Take the Duke and the spread.
There's going to be two Thunder dunks minimum. Over under on Thunder dunks, I think it's maybe even three. By RJ Barrett. Yeah, maybe more.
Maybe more.
I got a good name for him, actually. I just thought this now because you were talking about how they compare him a little bit to Andrew Wiggins in the sense that he's an explosive driver. He's from Canada. He's going to go number one, probably. Angry Wiggins.
Ooh.
Because he's got the attitude.
I like it.
And the game of an Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
But Angry Wiggins.
Angry Wiggins. Ooh, that's good. I might steal that for tomorrow.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No one's going to know. Like, how many people are we talking to today? 50?
Oh, no. Close to 1,000.
Close to 1,000?
Yeah.
You are good people. Yeah. Okay, I only got a few minutes left, and I got a bunch of dots.
Do it.
All right, you ready?
I'll give quick answers.
All right.
It'll be like the pyramid.
How did the Bills make the playoffs last year? Get a top-ranked freshman QB, a bona fide head coach in his second year, and still feel like a team moving the wrong way.
It's a great point. They backed into the playoffs. Weak AFC. That playoff game against Jacksonville made a lot of people hate football. People don't trust Josh Allen. And they're the Buffalo Bills. So be gone with your 1 year of making the playoffs.
The Buffalo home team.
Also, LeSean McCoy, just all the negativity
that
surrounded
that. That's so bad. That's an ugly situation.
So just all that.
I was watching the hometown Bills crew do the preseason game.
Yeah.
And so, of course, everything's got a big smile on it.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's flushed out of the pocket. And they're like, well, he kind of reminds me a little bit of a Brett Favre, you know, a big arm, taking chances, rolling out. And I just kept thinking, Jeff George. Massive arm and just is never going to figure this. Like, he was overthrowing guys by 5-6 yards.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Next one. Canada's Wonderland is building the steepest and highest dive roller coaster in the world. My kid will love it and it will kill me.
Bob, I'll tell you right now. Give CC to me and Amy because we still go to Canada's Wonderland. I actually retweeted the News Talk 1010 article on it and I put Amy's her Twitter thing on it. Jeremy Taggart said, you'll never see me. He said, there's a better chance I'll be back with Our Lady Peace than I'll be on that ride.
I've been building myself up to do Leviathan. I like rides, but they spin my brain. And my kid loves rides. My kid's got the daredevil gene.
Yeah, I don't
know where she got it from.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's going to see this. She's going to want to do it. Have you seen the pictures?
It's great.
You go 90 degrees straight down, Matt. You know what they call that? Mm. Falling.
Yeah. There's a roller coaster called the Roadster in Sandusky Park, Cedar Rapids. And Cedar
I hope
Rapids
it's not
Park
called Sandusky in, Park.
No. It's Sandusky, Ohio.
Okay.
Wow, so many bad jokes in my head. And that ride also, 90 degrees. I am so excited for it. I call Taggart a coward on Twitter. Leviathan is great. The Behemoth I like a little bit more because it's a little bit scary on the original tick, 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 tick.
Oh, my God, that tick, 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 you look so unguarded. That terrifies me because you're in this tiny little car.
There's nothing to the sides. There's just something around your crotch. I've always said this about roller coasters. The scariest part of roller coasters is not when you start going down, because that's when it gets fun.
No, it's the climb up.
Because the climb up, it gives you time to think. Once you start going down, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. The climb up, whoa, 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 scary.
So many things in life work that way. I feel like that described my last 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, yeah. And you know what it's called? Yukon Striker. Good name, right?
Or it sounds like a bad action hero in a B-level movie. This fall, Yukon Striker is on patrol.
Steven Seagal is Yukon Striker.
Are we sure there isn't a movie called Yukon Striker starring Steven Seagal?
Yeah, there's a good chance.
Yeah.
All right. A&W is sold out of the Beyond Meat Burger until at least September.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real, and it's spectacular.
Hey, man. Great marketing by them. There is a... always going to, you know, it's part of the health craze. People are like, they're like, oh, I got to eat healthy, but I still want to go to fast food.
You know what it
Perfect
is too?
Timing.
I don't know if you've ever had one. Have you?
No.
Okay. I had one of these last year in California and now they've brought them up here.
Yeah.
They're sold out everywhere here. They're sold out all over the place. I've asked all over because it is delicious. Most vegetarian burgers taste like hamster wood chips. You know, when you take the wood chips out of the bottom of the hamster cage?
Yeah.
Fused together with mucilage and then put into a bun.
Yeah.
This is really good. I don't know how they did it, but they faked meat juice.
Yeah.
And it's made out of pea protein, which I noticed they don't mention on the commercial.
Yeah.
Hey, it's made of peas.
Is there something odd about vegetarians raving about the taste of meat juice?
There is.
It's odd.
But what do you love about meat?
The taste.
Right. Well, this tastes like meat.
But if you're a vegetarian, don't you hate the taste?
I don't know.
And I get the other side. It's for health and morality and all this. But there is something odd when the vegan is going, this tastes like a steak. I'm like, I don't know. It sounds weird.
It is kind of weird. In theory, you should find all things meat related repugnant.
Yes.
Not the case. And you know why?
Mm.
We're still all human.
Yeah, we are.
I tried to watch the Jays last night and only lasted 1 1/3 innings, which means I could start for them.
Well, Danny Jansen, he got the home run and
sure.
and his family was there and he pointed to them and it was really nice. And he's got the glasses. He looks like Tom Hankey. So there was that, you know. Yeah. And
you know who wasn't playing?
Hmm.
Sean Reed Foley didn't pitch last night.
Nope.
So I didn't care about that.
Yeah.
Ryan Barucki.
Yeah, Barucki.
He's playing okay.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of those Leafs teams where you're just waiting for the good players to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
We call them the PA Parentoyers.
Good. Oh, God, yeah. And by the way, Blue Jays, stop being so short-term thinking. Bring up Vlad. He's not learning anything of the Bisons. The man might hit 400.
You lose a year of his service time. It's not a question.
Oh, no.
It's not a question. You got to do the smart thing, Matt.
Yeah.
They did it with Chris Bryant. I don't even think it's a debate anymore. If they did that, I would storm the building.
No, I want to bring him up now. He'll learn more now. Bring him up now.
He doesn't need to learn more now. He's great, and he needs to be a Jay for one extra year.
Oh, get out of here. That's small town thinking. Oh, we might lose him. No.
What, you're the small town like the Chicago Cubs?
You're the third. I hate it when anyone does. In Toronto, far bigger city than Chicago.
No, I don't know if it's far bigger.
Hate it.
All right. Should I wear this shirt? Now, let me explain, and we'll send out a picture of this. But my daughter went to, I don't know, some party, and they make shirts at this party.
Tie-dye shirts?
Well, I'll show it to you. So, yeah. Parents, you know the drill. Your kids make you stuff, and they want you to love it.
Yeah.
So, she made me this shirt, and she wants me to wear it, and it's painted with a gigantic 2018 across the chest. I'll hold it up for you here.
Yeah.
And her handprint in the middle of it.
Aww.
I had to take her out yesterday, and she wanted me to wear this downtown.
Yeah.
Should I have worn this shirt?
Yeah, you should have. The handprint, you know what it is? It's the handprint that sells it. Basically, the shirt is a color nightmare. It looks like someone, you know, engulfed 3 liters of different paint and vomited on it.
Right.
But at the same time,
with the 2018 in scrawl across,
which is great, because if someone asks you what year is it and you don't remember, you can look down and go, hey. So you got that for another four and a half
points.
That's
a good point.
It's the handprint that sells it. It's cute.
I know. And that's the thing. And you know what I said to her?
Right.
She likes our pod. She was listening to it in the car the other day. She goes, hey, you guys are funny. I love your pod.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, so we got a fan.
By the way, Cece, you got to go get Jeff Pollock as your lawyer and go to SeatGiants.ca. Also, you know what's another reason why you can wear this?
Why?
And this goes back to the early part of this podcast. Are you looking to have sex with a different woman?
No.
So then why does it matter? Wear the shirt.
So true. It gives you immunity in almost all situations.
And also your wife, the only person I'm assuming that you are making love to, she'll probably appreciate the fact that you're wearing the shirt made by, you know, the fruit of both your guys' loins.
I don't know if she'd think of it that way, but she might.
Yeah.
She might. Those are my dot, dot, dots, and we got a couple minutes left.
Nice.
We could do one thing that we could end off with a debate.
Sure.
Be it resolved that the new inclusion of a popular movie category at the Academy Awards is a good idea or a bad idea?
Bad.
Bad.
Bad idea. I hated everything. Like, first off, we're going to keep it to 3 hours. Don't. It's one day a year. I take the next day off work. The one thing I loved about last year's Oscars was that they had so many montages. It's my favorite thing. Show me 17 different themed movie montages. You'll get me every time. And some of them, I'll start tearing up like it's any moment of Big Fish. So I hated that. But the most popular category. How about just this? These big movies like Black Panther deserve to be Best Picture. Avengers deserves to be in the Best Picture category because so many people and their expertise went into these movies. And I know they're not the arts film, and I know they don't have the best script. And let's face it, Black Panther relied on CGI too much, but it was a great movie. So just find a way to include them in the 10. Don't do the best. Like, that's what the MTV Movie Awards, which is a ridiculous show. So yeah, I hated it.
I hate it too because it presumes that unpopular movies are somehow better than popular ones.
Yeah.
The goal of the movie is to realize the vision of the director and the producer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to tell a nice small story that has all kinds of different portals and interpretations, that's great.
Yeah.
If you want to tell a story that's just going to make people, you know, sit up and cheer and have a great time and eat popcorn,
mm-hmm.
like why is one goal more noble than the other?
It's not. Like, to me, the achievement of Something About Mary is equal to Moonlight. And I'm trying to pick two movies that could not be more different. But they both accomplished what they wanted to do. They were both remarkable movies. They set out and so I hate this because you're absolutely right. It should, like, we get Best Picture and then we start thinking a Best Picture movie looks like this.
I think it's harder to make someone laugh.
It is.
Than it is to make them think.
Absolutely.
Because we're thinking creatures. And to sit, you know, we go to the cinema and you sit in the dark for 2 hours and you get sucked into the story.
Yeah.
you just want to wind up somewhere.
Yeah.
You want to get taken somewhere. You want to take me to a funny place? Take me to a funny place. Take me to a sad one? Take me to a sad one.
Yeah, 100%.
I think the Golden Globes maybe has the better answer. If you like, I don't think you need to do anything, but if you had to do something, maybe you divide it up where you have a drama award and then like a comedy and action award.
Yeah. Fine.
Like if you want to do it that way because you don't see them as equivalent and you don't want them competing against each other, okay then.
But to me, they are equivalent. And if you're open-minded about it, which you should be, and I know a lot of this is just about one thing. It's about that the ratings were down.
Well, because people don't get excited about The Shape of Water. I love Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that was his best film.
Oh, nothing's going to be Pan's Labyrinth.
Right.
Nothing. That's his Citizen Kane.
Oh, yeah. The alarm just went off, Maddie.
The alarm went off. Bob,
listen, here it is.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.